Good morning. Good morning, New Mexico. Welcome to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. My name is Mary Charlotte. We're broadcasting live from the Santa Fe Baking Company, streaming on the web at ksfr.org, podcasting at santafe.radiocafe.org, thanks to Dotfoil Computer Services, and we're at facebook.com/radiocafemc. And that's kind of a new version of the page, so go ahead and like that page if you're not already a fan. I'd like now to welcome Linda Siegel. She's with us here every Friday during the course of the legislative session. Legislative update. Welcome.
Good morning, Mayor Charlotte.
Good morning. So, let's have maybe like a little overview of what's been happening since we talked to you our last snowy Friday here on the cafe.
Yes. Well, it's been an interesting time because of the divisions between the House and the Senate, with the Republicans controlling the House and the Democrats controlling the Senate. There's a whole new regime in about how bills are heard and what committees bills go to. And it's we've had a little controversy this week because one of the bills that the Republicans really want to pass is the third grade retention bill. And it got sent to one committee, the Education Committee first, and then the Democrats asked it to go to the Appropriations Committee. So they sent it to the Appropriations Committee. But then I guess the Republicans realized they didn't want it to go to the Appropriations Committee. So they did one of those blasts, which we've talked about in the past, where on the floor of the House they make a motion to remove it from that committee. And they did that, and the Democrats were kind of going, well, why? You have the votes to pass it in the Appropriations Committee. But there was a long debate on the floor about why to pull that out of committee. So that was a little excitement early in the session, already a blast of by the people who already have control.
That's just weird.
That's what some of us think. But only 43 days left.
Oh, 43 long days.
Yes, yes.
So we have heard about coyote killing contests.
Mm-hmm.
We've heard about we've heard about payday. Is it payday
loans?
Loan,
yes,
bills.
Yes. Those every 60-day session, odd number of years, we have the attempt by consumer advocates to limit the amount of interest that people who borrow from what are called payday loan entities, it actually applies to any entity, but to try to limit that, because people end up, when they don't pay on time, they end up having, 1,000% interest. And the advocates have been working for a number of years, I'd say maybe about 10 or 12, to actually put some very modest limits on what the amount of interest that can be charged. And there were a couple of bills in the House that would have limited interest to 36%, but those have both failed, and they are now tabled. There's still a bill alive in the Senate. And as Representative Gail Chasey said, there were 24 industry lobbyists here in the hearing room advocating against this bill.
What advocating against?
Against
the,
having a,
oh, right,
a
because
limit.
They, I mean, it's funny because when you look at the idea of 36% interest, if you had a credit card that charged that much, you'd say, oh my God, that's highway robbery. They should be stopped immediately. But what amounts to essentially taxing the poor just keeps on keeping on.
Well, I mean, their argument is a 36% interest might work for those who have longer-term loans, but when they borrow it for a week or a month and then they only pay back $5 or $5 in interest or something, the companies can't make money.
Yeah, well,
I'm just
okay.
Saying.
Right.
But you know,
you've got dozens of industry lobbyists. Do you have dozens of consumer advocates?
No. There's three or four people who are really dedicated and been working on this for a long time.
Okay.
But you know what we really should talk about is the revenue update, which happened this week.
Ladies and gentlemen, sip your coffee and listen up.
Yes. You know, we talked in our last few meetings here at the Santa Fe Baking Company, we talked about how the state's revenue has been dropping because the price of gas, natural gas, and oil has been dropping. And in July, we thought we had $283 million. And in October, we thought we had $141 million. And as of the beginning of this week, we now have $83 million.
Oh, my goodness.
So
I detect a trend.
Yes, I think we have a downward trend here. But actually, a lot of us were quite happy that we have that much because we were very worried that we're going to be looking at a flat budget, zero new revenue. So $83 million is something for the legislature to work with and try to get those increases in public education and hopefully higher education, Medicaid, and some of the health and social service programs. It's not a lot to work with, but it's certainly better than zero.
It's better than zero. Let's talk about Kendra's Law.
All right, that is one of the hot topics in the session. This debate is going on in the Senate now. And Kendra's Law is a piece of legislation named after Kendra. And the purpose of it is to create a process within the court system to determine that a person is unable to manage their own life in a significant way where there's a threat to themselves and to others, and that they need to have medication, and that they need to be forced to take this medication, because when they take the medication or receive whatever the treatment is, that they are able to function in the world. And it's something that we've talked about in the New Mexico legislature before, but there is a very serious effort this year to make that happen. The president pro tem of the Senate, Mary Kay Papin, who's from Las Cruces, who actually has a grandson who has mental illness and has difficulty functioning in the world without medication, she's been the champion on this bill. But there's also the pros and cons to it. And
yeah.
So she introduced the bill, and it went to the Senate Public Affairs, and they rewrote the bill based on input from the psychologists and the providers of behavioral health services and advocates. And so they rewrote the bill in Senate Public Affairs. That passed out, and now the bill is in Senate Judiciary, where they're again rewriting it. And it's the controversy is around how do you protect people's rights, but how do you help take care of people? Because it often falls on the family to say, you know, we've tried, our son, our daughter, our relative is out there, and they're really in danger, and we need to get them medication. So when you take away people's civil rights, even when you're doing it for their own good, it's a controversial issue. So
yeah.
I think that once the amendments come in the Senate Judiciary, that it might be a bill that can actually pass the legislature and will have enough protections and also enough help for people.
Yeah, there are so many bills that are like, on the one hand, you know, one side of it is my industry will profit if we pass this bill or
yes.
don't pass this bill, and everybody else, you know. But this is one of those things where there's genuinely major pluses and minuses.
Right, right. And how do you find the balance between protecting people, protecting the community? And we've had a lot
yeah.
of incidents of people who perhaps had they been on their medications wouldn't have committed murders or wouldn't have been killed themselves.
Yeah.
So it's a hot topic, and they're wrestling with it.
Well, that's great.
Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah. This is what our legislature should be doing.
Right. We like wrestling. Okay. Let's see. What else? Lottery scholarship.
Oh, yes.
That's an interesting one.
Yes, and that's also a hot issue right now, because we haven't been selling enough lottery tickets to fund the scholarship program, because the scholarship program gets about 30% of the proceeds from the sale of the lottery tickets, and it hasn't been enough to pay the tuition for all the students that are eligible for the lottery scholarship. So if you graduate from a New Mexico high school, then you are eligible for a certain number of years payment of your tuition. And it's we've been running out of money, and for the last 2 years in the legislature, they've taken money from other pools of money to subsidize the scholarships. And that's not what the way it's supposed to work. This is a program that was started in 1996. So once again, we're wrestling with the fact that that we're probably 15 million dollars short. Now, Senator Smith from the Finance Committee, he's the chair of the Finance Committee, he's proposed an interesting approach to allow people to charge their lottery tickets up to $20 on their credit card.
Okay.
And of course, a lot of people are freaked out about that. A lot of the advocates against the gambling and the lottery are concerned about charging lottery tickets on a credit card, because you've never been able to do that before.
So now you have to pay cash?
Yeah. So, but he thinks it will help, because most of the lottery tickets in the state are purchased at convenience stores,
right,
where there's usually a gas station, and the people don't go into the store. So he's thinking maybe you can get your lottery ticket at the gas pump
using your credit
card. So that bill is causing some controversy, and there's just disagreement about how we're going to subsidize the lottery again this year. We haven't reached a solution to this.
Right, okay.
We're piecemealing it.
Can they also amend that bill saying that those little yellow devices that talk to you when you're pumping gas should all be destroyed immediately?
You just have to get your gun out and shoot it.
Well, I was ready to do that because the mute button didn't work.
They're so annoying.
I stopped going to that gas station. Anyway.
Okay, so that's the lottery scholarship, and we need to find a solution for this.
Yeah. All right, well, I'll go buy a lottery ticket today.
Everyone out there, go buy lottery tickets.
So. Yeah, I mean, it's a lot of people's retirement plan, but let's talk about the minimum wage.
All right. There's one that comes up every year, and a lot of cities, well, not a lot, but several of our big cities like Santa Fe and Albuquerque and Las Cruces have done their own increase in minimum wage. But this week in the legislature, Lucky Varela's bill, Representative Varela's bill for raising the statewide minimum wage to $10.10 was, guess what, tabled in a House committee.
Mm.
So that bill is dead. And, of course, tabling means that the bill is not going anywhere. It's like being no longer...
It's like being shot through the heart and left in a field at dawn.
There you go. But there is another bill in the Senate that would raise the statewide minimum wage to $8.50, and that one may have a chance. Now, this is the dilemma: do you get something? Do you try to raise the wage to something higher than it is now, or do you go for really what you think it should be? And that's the political dilemma that I think the Democrats, who are really supportive of raising the minimum wage, have. And some have said, well, if we can't get like a livable minimum wage, then we shouldn't just raise it a dollar, because we've heard that the governor would sign an increase in minimum wage
in the $8 range. You try again.
Yeah. Yes.
I mean, in those 2 years, not that it's really that much money, but it's a few thousand dollars a year for somebody who's trying to make a living.
Would it be that much?
It
would be something. It would be more. So we'll see if that Senate version of the bill, which actually I think would raise it to $8.30 an hour and then create a training wage for 6 months. And would that be better than nothing? Absolutely.
Yep. So, let's see. We've talked about third grade. Have we talked about third grade?
We haven't talked about third grade retention yet. That was the bill that we had all the controversy at the beginning, at the middle of the week in the House.
If you work 50 weeks a year, 40 hours a week,
mm-hmm,
and get an extra dollar, that's $2,000.
All right. That's significant, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay. Glad we got that out there. So the third grade retention bill is moving. It's a strict requirement, mandate that if a child cannot read by the third grade, that they must be retained. And a lot of the school districts would like to see a little more flexibility. Some of the school districts have their own plans or their own ways that they deal with retaining children or helping provide the services to get those kids up to their grade level in reading. But this has been the bill that the governor has wanted for 4 years, and now that the Republicans are in control of the House, that third grade retention bill mandating that you be retained will pass the House, and then it'll go over to the Senate. And the Senate is a little more, even the Republicans in the Senate, a little more desirous that there be a compromise. So we'll see what happens with that.
What does the bill actually say besides retaining them? I mean, is there money put aside for actually teaching a bunch of third graders to read?
There is no money in the bill per se. Now, the argument is that there is already money in the public education budget to allow school districts to provide those intervention services, which should start occurring in the first grade and the second grade before you even get to the third grade. And a lot of school districts are providing those kinds of services. But there's no new money attached to this proposal.
Let's talk for a moment about gun safety.
Gun safety. There are multiple bills introduced this session, as always, about registration, about fingerprinting. It's funny, I was talking to the ACLU lobbyist who said, well, we're against fingerprinting for a gun registration because we don't want the federal government to have fingerprints of everyone. Wow, okay, go ACLU.
Why not? I mean, well, for guns, that's like a safety thing.
Yeah,
don't
but
they
once
put your thumbprint on licenses and stuff?
No.
Oh, they don't?
No.
What do they put your... Okay, anyway.
No. Okay. So we'll be seeing all those... in fact, is it this weekend? I can't... I'd have to look at the schedule. But there will be some hearings where there will be people with guns coming to the Capitol and people who don't like guns coming to the Capitol, and there'll be some big hearings around all those various background checks, registration, new rules related to concealed weapons. There's about 5 or 6 bills related to guns.
And there's one of them, it's called House Bill 44, that is being heard tomorrow at 12:30.
That's the one, yes. Thank you.
Let me see.
What's
if I
the
can
title
figure out
of that one?
It would close the gun show loophole.
Okay, that's the background check.
Yeah.
Yes. And that will, if you don't like to see people with open carry, do not go to the Capitol at 12:30 tomorrow, because there will be many, many people there opposing that bill legally carrying their guns.
Yeah. Well, if you do want to go support it, it's on the east side, the main entrance of the roundhouse at 12:30 tomorrow. It'll be a showdown.
Oh, that's not a hearing, is it?
Let's see. That's
just a rally, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Yeah,
it's a
that's
rally.
A rally. But there, the hearing, I think the
but
hearing
But there's a
may
hearing,
be,
too.
Yeah, the hearing is tomorrow, I think,
okay.
Also.
I'll see
but
if I can find information by the time
yes.
we do Speaking of the Arts.
And also, tomorrow is the House Judiciary hearing on the repeal of immigrant driver's licenses.
Okay.
And that will be in room 307 of the Capitol, which is actually the House Appropriations hearing room, but because it's the bigger hearing room, because there will be lots of people there to testify mostly against. In the prior hearing that we had a week or so ago, there were a few people testifying in favor and many, many, many people testifying against.
I went to that hearing last year. It was the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Big room, House Judiciary Committee, and the room was packed and people testified one after the other, after the other, after the other. And then they said, is there anybody here in favor of the repeal? Not a single person raised their hand.
Yeah. Yeah, that it'll be similar to that, but there'll be a few. So come and listen to that. It's very revealing, and It's the incredible stories from immigrants about their lives in New Mexico.
Right.
And it's controversial, but the trend is now going towards more and more states offering driver's licenses for undocumented immigrants, just so we get them insurance, and so there's an identification card if there's crime, if there's domestic violence. It's yes, this is my bias. I support the immigrant driver's license.
Well, I was thinking about there's this sort of rhetoric that goes on in this so-called debate, which is like, well, they're illegal, so they shouldn't have it. And when I look at my grandparents, who were virtually identical to the people who are now here from Latin America, who were here from Italy, you know, a century ago or whatever, half, you know, early 20th century, they were recognized as labor that the United States of America needed. And so they got, I mean, they were discriminated against and they were paid horribly, but they got sort of basic rights to live here.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, I just don't understand why we don't acknowledge that this is A, the labor force, and B, the parents of tomorrow's citizens.
Right. And many are now the parents of children graduating from New Mexico high schools, people who have lived here, children who have lived here all their lives, and yet they're undocumented because they weren't born here.
Right. All right. Well, it's just about, it's 8:30.
Oh, my God. We're over. We're done.
Time flies. Linda Siegel is with us every Friday doing the legislative update for the course of the legislative session. We've got another 43 days, as you say.
43 days, yep.
And we will see you a week from today. Linda Siegel, thanks for being with us.
Thank you, Mary Charlotte.
We're going to take a break, and Diana Delling will be with us speaking of the arts.